Good afternoon. As B mentioned at the start, we're beginning kind of a new series called Ignite DNA. Really, over this series, we want to look at what we are like as a community. We've been thinking about this for a little while, some of us here. We've been thinking about what characteristics we have as a community and what that looks like. Over the next 5 weeks, we want to look at five different things that we believe are part of our culture, are part of who we are as a community. We want to look at them in kind of three different ways. So first of all, we want to look at it from the Bible, from Scripture, and look at it at where we maybe think these characteristics come from in a theological sense. Secondly, then we want to look at it from within our own culture. That means looking sometimes at our history. That means looking at what we're like presently, and that also maybe means thinking about how we show that characteristic off in the future, or how we try to live it out. And then thirdly, there will also not today, there will only be a small time of maybe interaction, but this is us as a community figuring out what we're like and how we show that. So that involves everyone who's in this room. No matter how long you've been coming to this room for, it doesn't matter. You're part of this community, so it involves everyone. So I think we're planning each week to have a time where we can talk about this as well. Because potentially I'll stand up here and talk about something and you'll go, nah, we're not like that at all. That's rubbish. We want to be able to give you the space to say that to have that opinion as well. So that'll come later on. Today I'm going to talk just a little bit theologically, and then Simon's going to come up and talk about our history and our present, and then he has a few questions for us to think about at the end. The first point we want to make about our DNA is that as a community, and you would hope this is true of all Christian churches, but as a community, we are focused on Jesus. As a Christian church, Jesus is our focus. Some of you know I was in India over the summer, and my time there, I got to speak and listen to a lot of different people and a lot of people from different faith backgrounds. One thing that really struck me actually when I was there was the similarities between some of the major faiths. I was struck by how there are some similarities in terms of their view of a God, of a higher power. However, although there is common ground shared, we can't deny or paper over the fact that there are huge differences as well. And in Christianity, we can't paper over that either, because of some of the things that Jesus says. And in particular today, I want to look at John 14:6, when he says this. I think actually we have it. Yes. So John 14:6, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now, if we call ourselves Christians, if we believe that Jesus is who he said he was, if we believe that he was the Son of God, if we believe that Jesus did the things that are recorded in the Bible, if we believe that he died and rose again, then it's very hard to get around a passage like this where Jesus himself says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." It's very hard to reconcile Christianity with other faiths, with other life views, if you're going to believe that Jesus said this. It flies in the face of it. However, I would like to spend a little time as well today talking about how we use a passage like this. Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. I believe that as a Christian. I believe that Jesus is the only way to be reconciled to God, to be reconciled with other people, to be reconciled in myself as well. He is the only one that can bridge the gap. But if we look at the passage in which Jesus says this, I think it's important to note that when Jesus is saying this, he isn't saying this to like a crowd of people. He isn't saying this to a load of people who are trying to figure out who he is. He's saying this to people who have chosen and decided to follow him. The moment Jesus says this, he's in a room with the disciples, talking to the disciples, to people who have followed him for 3 years. And at the moment Jesus says this, the disciples are feeling a little uneasy. Jesus has just told them that he's going to die in a couple of days, and he'll be off, and he's basically said it's over to you. And the disciples start to feel a bit unsure of themselves, a little inadequate, a little unworthy, and they start to go, oh no, come on, like, surely you haven't told us everything, you haven't showed us the way. And Jesus says to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I think it's significant that he's talking to the disciples here. This passage sometimes can be used as a bit of a stick to beat people of other faith views and other worldviews with. This passage sometimes Christians can wheel it out as an argument ender. You can't say anything about your faith because Jesus says this, end of argument. But Jesus was saying this to the Christians to comfort them, to encourage them in their own faith. This is part of, as I started reading this week, I was like, oh, we probably can't just use one verse, because actually this is part of a huge section where Jesus is talking to the disciples from John 13 right the way through to John 17 and the end of John 17. So three chapters in which it records a conversation that Jesus has at the Last Supper with his disciples. And this comes right in the middle of it. Following this, Jesus talks in what's quite a well-known passage about the vine and the branches. And he says this, I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This is what he's saying to the disciples. He's saying, don't forget that I am the way. Don't forget that you have to remain in me. That's what you have to do when I go. Jesus starts off this passage by washing the disciples' feet. And I also think that's significant. We read in Philippians 2 that Jesus didn't come to kind of lord it over everyone, even though he was God. He came to serve. And I think it's significant that this conversation starts with Jesus washing the disciples' feet. I don't think Jesus is telling us to go and beat people of other worldviews over the head with this verse. He's telling us to serve, to love. He's giving us this verse to encourage us as we do that. Jesus and God, they do want to show love to all people. We don't want to ignore that. And twice in this passage, Jesus talks about that as well. In John 13, just before he says this, he tells his disciples, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So he's saying to them, you have to love one another. This is how we are going to show people. This is one of the ways in which you will show people that you are my disciples. At the end, he prays. The end in John 17, he prays for himself. He prays for his disciples, and then he goes on to pray for all believers. And in that prayer for all believers, he says this. May they also, he's talking about I'll explain this. Yeah. So he says, may they also be in us. So he's talking about being in God, being in Jesus. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. We believe that Jesus is our focus. That's part of our DNA. That means that we do believe that Jesus is the answer for all people. That means that ultimately we believe that if you want to reconcile with God, if you want to reconcile with other people fully, if you want to reconcile yourself, that you need Jesus. That is the answer. But our focus is also Jesus in everything we do. We shouldn't, as a community, just go outside the building and tell everyone that they need Jesus unless we're living that way ourselves. So Jesus is saying to the disciples, I am the way. You need to know this. You need to live this yourself. When we live in Jesus, that is when people can know who he is. When we commit to focusing on him. So that is part of what we have to do as a community. Yes, we believe that Jesus is the answer for everyone, but we have to believe he's the answer for us as well. We have to really live that. Really live that he is our answer to the problems we face, to the damage and hurt that's in our lives. Jesus is the answer. Simon's going to come up and speak a little bit about how we've maybe seen some of this in our history and in our present.
Thanks, Michael. In this part of the series, the two parts we're going to do, one on the theology, as Michael said, and the second part is kind of like, what's the outworking of this look like for our community? How has it been evident in the past, and how we can we continue to focus on this element of our DNA as a community, but also want to be challenged on us as individuals as well. I've one or two stories just from our past of kind of, I suppose, illustrations of how we try to make those decisions and how we try to keep Jesus as the answer and that being our focus. And there's lots of times we made mistakes. There's lots of times we just did social things and didn't tell people about Jesus. But I remember one particular time we used to run a disco here. Some of you were at those discos. And at a point, we ran them for about 8 years and we had lots of teenagers coming along. And at one point, numbers got a lot lower. And at points in the past, we had done up the place and we bought new lights and we tried to make it cool again, if you can believe that this room was cool. But there came a point when actually we had been building relationships with teenagers and there was other activities as well as the disco. And the disco used to involve 25, 30 people each Saturday night. So it was a lot of work. And it came to a point of just actually, we're here to tell people about Jesus. And although numbers are dropping, we do want to prioritize and make sure that we take the opportunities in some of the relationships that we have. And I remember we've used the Alpha course a few times. I don't know if any of you have done the Alpha course. But the first two sessions of the Alpha course are about Jesus. And every time we've run it, they've been the two most interesting, most talked about, most engaging sessions that there are. And I remember just seeing there that actually people who'd maybe been part of church or had been part of a religion, that actually engaging and talking about Jesus was the thing that attracted people. So it was an interesting change for us to go from running the disco, which was our headline event and thing that we were known for, I suppose, to stop that, make a decision to stop that and focus on those relationships. And another one which happened maybe 8 years ago, I think it was, we applied for government funding. Marion was and Belinda were involved heavily in this, and we went through a huge process filling in forms, 40 pages, coming up with policies and procedures, a massive amount of work, weeks and weeks of work. And in the end, we would have got about 100,000 a year to employ staff and to run this place, but in exchange for that we would have been running kids activities, homework clubs every afternoon, and we have been doing that. We had maybe one on a week. And we said no to the money in the end, kind of for two reasons. One was that we couldn't have talked about Jesus as openly because it was government funding. And the second thing was, at the time, for us to do five homework clubs a week would have involved a huge amount of staff time and we wouldn't necessarily have been able to do other things. So we said no to it in the belief that actually we're here to tell people about Jesus, not just to run homework clubs. And I remember talking to a woman, I remember standing here with her. She was down at one of the homework clubs. We don't run them anymore, actually. But she was saying, you know, they're really good. Why don't you do them more often? And I was just, you know, saying that actually, yeah, we can do homework clubs and it's great that kids get to do their homework and learn that way. But actually, if we do those all the time, we lose our energy and enthusiasm for talking about Jesus. And as I said, there's lots of times we've made mistakes and we haven't done the right thing, or we haven't talked about Jesus as much. We've just kind of served people and loved people. And I think that, I think some of the decisions we made, like the money for the homework club, wouldn't necessarily be a decision we'd make the same now. It might be the right time to do that now, but at that point, I think it would have changed the direction this place went. I think present day, Michael talked a little bit there about Jesus and other religions. And I think there's actually lots of people who are quite interested in who Jesus is. I think when you look at his heart for social justice, he was a radical. There's a lot of people who are interested in hearing about Jesus. And you see other religions around the world, whether it's Islam, Jehovah's Witness, lots of religions talk about Jesus, respect Jesus as a leader, as a teacher. But actually, when it comes down to Jesus being God, is when there's an issue that Jesus is the answer to it all. It becomes more difficult. And I know I've privilege of sitting in with some of the Overs discussions on a Tuesday. And sometimes talk about lots of random things. They usually have a question and talk about it. But some of the most interesting discussions we've had is when we've talked about who Jesus is and what would Jesus do. And I know for people, in discussions with people, there is a desire to talk about Jesus. But I think at the same time, Jesus is divisive. He calls us to follow him, that he is the only way. And that's a difficult thing for people to hear sometimes. I think thinking about the future, how do we ensure that Jesus is the answer, or Jesus is still part of our DNA, that it's a focus of what we do? Because it is very easy to run social clubs and do social things and forget about Jesus. And the world is changing a lot. And we see that in the news of how tolerant people are for religion. But how can our community continue to be shaped by this element of our DNA? And I think, as Michael said there, firstly, it starts with us. It has to start in our own lives, that Jesus has to be the answer in our lives, that Jesus is the answer to our identity. God says we are child of God, that we are co-heirs of Christ. Jesus also answers the question of what we're worth. We're worth more than the flowers in the fields. And it's for us that Jesus died and rose again. Jesus is the answer to addictions and things that hold us down, because it says Christ has come to set us free and give us life to the full. But it has to start with us as we live and as we share with other people. As Michael said, it's not a message we just go out and tell people, but it's a message we live internally first and then share that good news with people. And it's believing the truth of these promises, believing this truth that we live a life worthy of the Lord. How else do we do it? I think I remember being challenged in IBI about, it was in an Old Testament class, and the teacher of the Old Testament class always brought every story in the Old Testament back to Jesus. And Jesus isn't really mentioned directly in the Old Testament, but everything points towards who Jesus is. And I think for us standing up the front, when talks are done at the front, when we have discussions in our groups, Jesus has to be the focus. If we don't talk about Jesus, well, then we could be saying anything. Jesus is the defining point of Christianity. I think for me personally, thinking about the last few years of being here and kind of going forward as well, a lot of the time, and I remember one particular person and chatting to them, it's easier to do kind of behavior change and help people get out of situations that they might be in, difficult situations, helping them make changes. But actually, there's been times where I failed to introduce people to who Jesus is, who can make ultimate change. And I think we get caught up in changing behavior and not transformation. And people's lives need to be transformed, because then they make decisions better for themselves and better for the world. So we want every activity, every discussion group, every Bible study, Ignite, to point people, ourselves and other people, towards Jesus. We've had, over the years, lots of different kind of groups, different activities have started up. We've done youth groups, kids groups. There's a men's shed. There's lots of different things going on. But actually, ultimately, in those groups, we need to be showing people who Jesus is. There's no point just running a group and not telling people about who Jesus is. I think sometimes as churches, we believe that when we introduce new music or we have a new building or we have better activities, that the church will change and people become to know Jesus. And I think these things all help show people who Jesus is, but they're not the end result. Everything we do, the songs we sing, the way we use our building, the activities we run and the ways we run them all have to flow into the conviction that Jesus is the answer. We don't spend loads of money on this building. As you're probably told, we do paint it and we keep it clean, but we don't invest in plush seats or in great technologies. Having cool music isn't our aim, although thankfully we have a good music group, a good band. But at the end of the day, it's not about just having a concert and listening to good music. It's about the lyrics of the songs and the worship leaders pointing people towards Jesus. If I wanted a decent concert, I'd go to Christy Moore. But the activities that we do and the ways that we do them are important, but they're not the ultimate endpoint. There's no point us, I suppose, starting a group that would teach people how to build igloos in Ireland, because that wouldn't help anyone. So we do need to do activities that engage with the culture, but at the end of the day, we need to help people discover who Jesus is by loving people and sharing with people. If we don't do that, well, then we just end up as any kind of social group. Jesus is the distinctive. Jesus is the difference between life and death, between meaning and emptiness. If we don't tell people and show people Jesus, then we deprive them of the opportunity to make that choice for themselves. But going back to the beginning, we need to believe that and live that ourselves. And if we do decide to follow Jesus, that doesn't mean things are safe. Jesus was called to the lost, went to the lost and the hurting and the broken. And that's what we're called to do as well. I was chatting with Natalie in the car, my daughter, yesterday. And I was trying to tell her how to behave, how to make the right choices. And I was saying, don't do things that are wrong. And she wanted kind of specifics. I said, don't do this and don't do that. But it was very easy for her just to get caught up in those specific things that I was saying. Don't pull size duvet off the bed. Don't do this, don't do that. But actually, and it's the same for us, it has to become a mindset that we have. It's not just about, and Michael talked about this about last week, just following rules. It's not like we have 20 rules that we follow and that means we live like Jesus is the answer. But actually, it's a whole mindset for us to change. It's how we view people, how we talk with people, how we use our money, how we spend our time, all those things. And for Natalie, as she grows up, she understands and she learns, I suppose, a way of acting. And, people make mistakes and we all make mistakes. But at the end of the day, it's changing how our minds work and seeing a new framework, what Jesus asks for us. I want to just ask two questions just as we finish up. They should come up on the screen there. Do you believe that Jesus is the answer? Is this an important element of our community? Whether you've been here for 12 years or 2 weeks, is that evident? And is it important that it's evident? And then going forward, how do we continue to keep Jesus as the answer, as an important part of who we are and what we're about? So maybe just have a think about it yourself, chat to someone beside you, and we take some feedback if you have anything to add. Otherwise, if there's particular things you go, actually, we don't talk about Jesus enough, or we talk about Jesus from the front, but we don't talk about Jesus one-on-one. And maybe just have a quick think about those two questions, say to someone beside you, and then we'll see if there's any feedback. But you can chat to me or myself or Michael afterwards as well. So just have a think about those two questions.